nervous. How y'all doing? Hello? What's this one? Hi, family. I'm Rayshawn, and I'm an addict. I want to welcome anybody who's new to Narcotics Anonymous. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting. It's a lot going on, and I'm prayed and asked God to remove the jealousy, the insecurities, the arrogance, you know, so that I can deliver a clear message of recovery. But it's hard, especially because I suffer with a disease that's centered in my thinking, which tells me that I'm really not worthy of doing this meeting. So what I do is I show up anyway, because it's not about me. Who, what, why, and how? Well, first of all, who is me? You know, I'm Rayshawn, and I am an addict. And I live to use, and I use to live. You know, man. You know, when I was growing up, I was always told that I wasn't shit and I wasn't gonna never be shit. And still today, with 11 years clean, I still feel that way sometimes. You know, my clean date is March 3rd, 1998. I just recently acknowledged and celebrated 11 years. And I'm talking about staying clean no matter what, because some stuff has gone on since I've been clean. You know, not only do I have a using story, and let me identify myself for the newcomer, I did smoke. I neglected my children. I stole from my family. I did whatever I had to do to get whatever I had to get. I did not look like this when I got here on March the 3rd, 1998. You know, the literature tells me that I need to identify myself with the newcomer so you don't think that I look like this when I walk the detox. Because I didn't. I didn't look like this, and I didn't feel like this. I didn't know anything about the disease of addiction. I thought I had a crack problem. And I thought that if I just could stop smoking, that my life was just going to automatically get better. You know, and I just kept coming back. You know what I'm saying? They say stuff like, change you must or die you will. The same person to use again. If you want something different, you got to do something different. And I didn't know, I thought it was just writings on the wall, you know what I'm saying? But I knew that I didn't want to go back to Georgia and Emerson Street, because I could stay clean for a couple of days and go in the house and eat and sleep and, you know, change into somebody else's clothes in the house, because I ain't really had too much of my own, you know, and go back up the street and think that I was a shit all over again. You know, I didn't know that I had the disease of addiction, which means that when I stopped using, that there's a manifestation that takes place. God, sometimes I wish I just had a drug problem. Because life on life's terms, man. See, like, stop using was the easy part. Try dealing with some stuff without nothing to medicate it to. You know, no drugs, that is. You know, so, and I'm just going to tell my story. You know, God Almighty. I love my sponsor, man. She just let me go through what I got to go through. You know, one way to get tired of doing something is to keep doing it. You know, and when I stopped using, because the first step tells me, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the steps, because the steps is what helps me stay here. This says that there's a vacuum, there's a soul, there's a hole. You know what I'm saying? And now that I don't want to use no more, not even that I stopped using, but I don't want to use no more. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to sell my body for $1.75 to get a bumper no more. I don't want to leave my kids with anybody no more for weeks at a time. Caught up in the grip. You know what I'm saying? Not knowing if anything ever happened to my children, but I can't go back, because every time I walk down the street, it sounds like somebody calling me. So I can't go to the house. I can't take care of them. As a matter of fact, if I tell the truth, I didn't want them when I had them. I had my children tricking. And I just thank God for my family because instead of letting them get in the system, they took them. And when I got clean, my children were 6 and 7. They're about to be 17 and 18. You know, and when I went to detox, my sister dropped me off and said, don't get in a relationship. And of course I said, that ain't what I'm here for. You know, because see, I didn't know that I had the disease of addiction at this time. I thought that if I go to detox for a couple of days and stop using, that I could go back and life will be normal, whatever normal is. And that's the first thing that I did. I got into a relationship 30 days into the program, and I made that person my God. Now, mind you, I'm still fresh 30 days out of the crack house. I'm still, when I talk, smoke come out. But you can't tell me because I was able to, they took us to Catholic Charities and I was able to switch up a couple of pieces and, you know, you couldn't tell me because see, now I ain't using now, 30 days. God is good and God this and God that, not knowing that I still have the disease. And I get into this relationship in detox. I can't wait to hear this. I get into the relationship in detox, and I make that person my God. And I just thank God that my desire to not use was stronger than my desire to stay clean. Because when that person left, because I made them. See, I filled my hole with that person when I had 30 days clean. You feel me? And then when they left, what am I left with? I still got the hole. So I start feeding it too. If you stop copping, you can go shopping. And I mess up my credit here in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm still paying on that $400 K Jewelers credit card because I thought I was in love and I was going to get married. 30 days out of the crack house. Because it says, in desperation, we see help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't need y'all when I first got hit because I thought I just had a drug problem. So, but I don't want to use no more, so I keep coming. And I go through, I recover in the open about who I am. And a lot of people don't understand that pain shared is pain lessened. You know, so I keep coming. I'm going to meetings. You know what I'm saying? Narcotics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women. You know what I'm saying? I can't go nowhere else and talk about exactly who I am. Insecure, feel inadequate and unworthy on some days. Can dress up the outside real good, but it don't stop what's going on in my gut. The residue that's left from using people, places, and things. Stayed clean through that relationship. It was over 2.5 years. And I kept wondering why I was clean, but I was still feeling like I was using. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't smoked in a minute. But why I'm still tricking with that guy that I trick with for the same $20? I'm talking about my story when I first get here. Why you still think you only worth $20? And then the $20 is associated with the crack. So what you gonna do with the $20 now, Rayshawn? Gotta go buy something to wear. Gotta go buy something to wear because I don't want y'all to know that I don't feel good about myself. So I dress up the outside until dressing up the outside don't feel good no more. And sometimes the day, the only thing that I could do perfectly is not use, newcomer. Don't judge me because I fall short. With 11 years clean. And 11 years might not mean nothing to nobody, but it means a hell of a lot to me. I have not smoked any crack, drank any beer, No. That's not. No, that's not right. That's not right. It's about telling the truth. You know, the literature says that regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion, we are all in the right place. And I like to say that for the newcomer, because when I was in detox, you know, I thought the person that somebody was bringing cigarettes to was better than me, because I ain't had nobody bringing me cigarettes. But we was all in detox. I thought because, you know, somebody was bringing you clothes and I was switching minds up, that you was better than me. And I'm not no better than nobody else, and nobody's no better than me. Newcomer, I just got here and made a decision to not use before you did. That's it. I am not exempt from using. So I do my best to stay plugged in. You know, I do step work. I have a sponsor. And, you know, God is funny because, like, it's like every time there's something going on, you know, he send people to let you know. Because I've been being attacked. But I've attacked. So I'm going to keep coming. And I ain't going to smoke. But you know, when he's trying to take me to another level, I got people in my ear saying that I ain't no good for this, and man, and then people start asking me to sponsor them. I'm talking about like in the last week. Every time I think I'm not no good, God will send somebody to let me know that I am perfect for this. And you know how it works is that I reach out when I'm going through and I help somebody with no strings attached and I don't talk about it. I don't need to let y'all know that I do selfless service outside of Narcotics Anonymous. It ain't none of your business. In this last year, I found out what grace and mercy really is. Yes. I'm talking about not deserving some stuff, but getting some stuff anyway. Yeah. And it ain't none of your business what God got for me. Yeah. I don't want to smoke. That's all I know. I don't got no crystal ball about what's going to happen tomorrow. Or I'm not mad about nothing I did yesterday or last year or who I did last year or none of that. Because it don't matter today. I don't want to smoke today. You feel me? My friends say I say that all the time. Narcotics Anonymous has saved my life. Newcomer, do you hear me? I thought I was going to die using. I didn't want my children when I had them. But I'm here to share with you, newcomer, that I'm a mother to both of my children today. When I first got clean, I was all right with my mother having my kids because they were still in my way. I fell in love with my children in Narcotics Anonymous through the help of y'all and step work. Yes, my children are two of my best friends. A lot of days, they're the reason I keep coming because I don't want them to have to look for me no more. They know where I'm at right now. You know what I'm saying? How Narcotics Anonymous work is that I call my sponsor and I share with her. I don't do no too much beating around the bush about how I'm feeling or none of that. Because I got to get to the exact nature. It's some reasons why I used. I ain't just used because there wasn't nothing else to do. My father was locked up for 13 years. My mother didn't raise me. I was called bitches and children were seen and not heard. I wasn't able to talk about how I felt. I couldn't fucking wait to tell somebody how I was feeling. And I wasn't scared to do my fourth step because I was tired of holding on to all of that shit. that kept me using for so long. It was a lot of days that I did not want to use, and I used anyway. It was some days where I wanted to go home and take care of my kids, but I had to use. And I feel like I would be smacking God in his face if I did that right now. Man, he got so much for me. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of days, fear won't even allow me to get in position to get it. I got to be in position. I'm talking about through the falling short and due to doing this and the having this. And I still, he still got something for me. And it ain't none of your business what it is. I don't know how much time I got. So listen, I started a business. A home-based business. And I had somebody actually literally tell me that it is not going to work. So I said, okay. But what I understand is when people ain't happy in their life, they not going to be all right with you being happy in yours. I'm going to be rich. I say that every, you know what, because I gotta like speak into my life what I want it to be. If I sit around all day and keep telling myself, oh, I don't feel good about myself, this ain't this and this ain't that, I am practicing looking at the glass half full instead of half empty. You might not know that I'm practicing it because it ain't none of your business, but trust me, I'm practicing it. And my business is doing good. It's doing good in spite of people telling me that it's not, and don't forget about Narcotics Anonymous, and I understand that. I listen, but I take what's mine. I don't take what's not. I don't let everybody minister me what I need to do in my life, because everybody don't have my best interests. You can hug me, you can tell me you love me, or I love the way you shared and all that, but everybody don't have my best interests. So I kind of like try to stay plugged into the source. God is awesome. And what I'm learning is that even through the storm, God is all right. I got some reference points to show me that I can get through anything clean. There are no excuses to use anymore, newcomer. There are no excuses. If I go use right now, it's because I want to. That's it. Y'all took away all my excuses. I got some tools. I got people that I can go to and talk about exactly how I feel. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got to go sit in the crack house and try to tell the motherfucker that I'm feeling unworthy. So I go to a meeting and I share in the open about who Rayshawn is. Because y'all told me that if I'm not talking about me, I'm not talking about nothing. And how it's been working for me is that through some step work, I'm able to find out who, you know, just a little bit of who Rayshawn is. I'm peeling the onion. You know what I'm saying? I'm like beginning to be all right in my own skin. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to keep living in my past. I got to revisit it to find out some stuff to get better, but I ain't got to keep living in it. So stop fucking making me live in my past. Judging me from some shit that I did 5 years ago. What I'm doing today. Man, step work is so very important. I'm gonna share this and I'm gonna sit down. A young lady asked me to sponsor her, and all I know is to take her right to the literature. My sponsor is, I got some sponsor sisters in there. My sponsor is go right to the literature. She was like, I gotta write already. And I'm like, how long did you smoke? Because, I mean, I wasn't told that I gotta wait a year or 2 or 3 years to get into no step work. When the disease called me to go smoke, I went to go smoke. So, yes, you got it right now. You know what I'm saying? And I just love this program. You know, newcomer, please, give yourself a chance. You know what I'm saying? Using is not the answer anymore. I know that as long as I keep coming back, first and foremost, don't use. Help somebody with no strings attached. Go to a meeting. Talk to my sponsor. You know what I'm saying? It's going to get better. The disease got my son right now. He got felony charges coming up and everything. I can't go get him. I want to go get him. I want to save him. I can't. I'm not giving up on them. Because one thing that I know is that when I was 16 and I was going through, I wanted somebody to tell me that they loved me. I wanted somebody to hug me and tell me that it was going to be all right. And that's what I do for my son. You know, if I can come in here and if I can help you, why can't I help my son? If I can come in here and I can tell you that I love you, it's going to be all right and keep coming back and give you a fucking page to read, why can't I do it for my son? I'm Rayshawn and I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm an addict. My name is Gary. And I want to remind y'all again to please turn your cell phones off so that we can maintain an atmosphere of recovery. And at this time, I want to introduce our second speaker, and that's William F. from the Frederick area.
My name is William. I'm an addict. I forgot that right away. I've been nervous ever since I got the commitment to do this. And I'm the kind of addict that I'm in an area. It's crying time, y'all. So I'm the addict that I let my tears flow because I can only talk about me and why I'm here. And why I'm here, I really, really didn't know in the beginning, but I remember the last hit that I took. And it wasn't that I had a bunch of it. It was a nickel called Red Tops or Blue Top. And I don't know what happened, but it brought me to my knees, and I ended up in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. My clean date is November the 21st, 1997. Today I got a check for 4,165 days. I want to tell you the truth that I want to cash it in, but it's not about the money. It's about me trying to carry the message of hope to the newcomer, or if I can just help one person in this room. It's a lot of y'all here. There's a lot of y'all here, but if I can just help one person, I hope this can be. I'm not a young man. I'm going to talk about me. My family is all I know that I can talk about, because when I got here, I didn't know y'all. So I'm the dysfunctional person in the family. I'm the little boy that when I did the step work, I had to go back and bring me up to where I'm at today. Because if I start off in the middle, I'm 65 going on 66. That means that I done missed something and I done came in and told you a lie. My father was a father that had some rules in the house. We call them principles. And he was a real, real good father. But in my story, I hated my father. And when I came here, I just know that where I'm at today is a lot better than where I was in the past. I came here, I was homeless, penniless, broke, and a bum. As a child, let me tell you what I'm going to tell you, because I need to say this, because I don't care anymore about you knowing who I am. As a little boy at the age of 11, I was molested by a man. So in my story, I didn't like men when I came around here, and I didn't care to hug men because I remember that pain I got as that little boy. But it wasn't just that, because I got prisons in my story, too. See, I've been to prison, too. By the time I was 35, I had did 25 years of my life being incarcerated in some type of institution or something. That means that I've been to the training school. I've been to the Voice Village. Anyway, by the time I got to prison the last time, I had a bit that I was serving. It was life in 43 years in prison, and that was in 1967. But them the good days, because life in 43 today in prison means that you're going to be there the rest of your life. And then when I got out, they had a program that the federal government called a mutual agreement program. Would you do a contract? And I remember that day I did the contract, and it talked about being free. But I left a wife and children. I left my family through shame and guilt, had to go through my pain of me. And in prison, I need to tell y'all that the very thing that happened to me, I did it in prison too. So in my story, I talk about men, I talk about women, I talk about kissing men. So what did that mean to me? I want to say that I'm a straight guy, but I'm okay with it. I'm straight. I got a wife and a happy family today. But yeah, gay, I ain't got no problem with. In my story, what I was talking about was all I knew that in prison, I wanted somebody to just to hug me and take care of me. And what I found out that I ended up that I just wanted to be with another man. And that made me happy at times. When I got here in 1997, it wasn't about prisons. It wasn't about me saying at the time that I'm an addict and I want to be here in Narcotics Anonymous. I came looking for something that I didn't have a clue what it would be. I was looking for y'all. The last thing that my pastor told me was, I'm going to send you to a place where there's people just like you. And if you don't get it this time, you never will. It's nothing that the church can do for me. And I have no problem with not going to church anymore. I get my service, my help from the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I went to this small town. I'm going to bounce back. What, why, and how is all embundled in this. Step work is embundled. And in my fourth step, I had to look at me, my sponsor told me. It wasn't about them, they, others. It's about you. Your fourth step is about you. So when you call me, if I can help you with some experience in that area, I will. But you got to do your fourth step about you. And it's got to be about you, and just tell the truth. I came and I began to feel something in this program. And what I felt was that for the first time in my life, I decided to make a decision that I'm going to stick and stay and find out if the program really works. Because I really didn't believe y'all. I thought it was a lot of phony stuff going on in here. So I inventoried my way in, and I inventoried my way out. In other words, I went in, out. I went in and out. I was the revolving door until I smoked that last pink top or red top or whatever it was, and it brought me to my knees. Today, no, let me get back to you. Let me check you out. I'm the addict who came in Narcotics Anonymous, and I saw some people doing some things, and I started doing them too. Not only did I come in here doing some real knucklehead stuff, let me tell you about this here. I'm the addict who came to meetings. I left out the meetings and I got high. I'm the addict who became a trusting servant in the meetings, and I took the basket. I'm the addict who came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and said that you can trust me with anything that you do, and I'm willing to do that. And in the fourth step, I found out that I'm the addict that stole your money. Now, I didn't steal it, I borrowed it. And I told my sponsor, why is they saying that I stole the money and I didn't? In my fourth step, he asked me that question over and over again. William, did you steal the money? No, I borrowed it. William, did you steal the money? No, I borrowed it. And what he was just saying to me, Dick, get down in that step work, man, and tell the truth. He gave me one of these out. This is the out of how he got me. William, did you ask anybody to use the money? No. So what that means, I stole the money. Then I came in there. You talk about relationships. Let me tell you about me and relationships in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, especially with you lovely women, right? What y'all taught me was that I'm jealous, I'm insecure, I'm a stalker, and if you say you love me, you're in trouble. I'm the addict who fell in love in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and the police came to get me. I'm the addict who got in the relationship and I didn't understand why you didn't love me anymore. It talks about that. And I said to myself, well, you say 30 days. They told me don't get in a relationship for a year. So I practiced some principles. I got in a relationship 15 months after I was clean. I did the same thing that you did. I fell in love. It didn't have a clue. 15 months clean. And the girl told me one night, pack your stuff and get out. Put me out in the snow. I'm going to say this here because it's the tape. It's on my tape. The first thing she told me was she opened the door and she said, bitch, get out. And I didn't understand that. What's love got to do with this? Is this what love is all about? And what I found out was, again, that I had no clue of what a healthy relationship is all about. And I tried it three more times with three women in the rooms. And in the process, I found out that I had to go back and get the woman that really loved me, that stuck with me for 37 years, that visited me in the penitentiary as a friend, that allowed me to be the father, you know, of a child from her, and show me that she loved me no matter what. Today, the woman has been in my life for 37 years, and last Friday, we celebrated 3 years, our third anniversary of being married. What I found out was, without this program, I would not be here today. Without this program, I would not have my family back today. See, today, I'm a grandfather, I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a great-grandfather. Today, I can stand here and say that my children is what you told me that I would get back one day if I did exactly what I'm supposed to do and don't use. See, it ain't the drug that I deal with now. It's the emotions and the feelings of the person that I am and how I feel about me. I really don't care much about what you think about me. I just want you to respect me as a recovering addict and let me go through my trials just like you went through yours. See, all of us gets a term in here and everything. I can go back out and use again if I choose to. I just don't choose. I don't want to smoke crack anymore. See, the kind of crack that I smoked, I peeped out of the keyhole. I was in the mail slot thinking that somebody was coming in the house to kill me. I ran out the house and called the police and told them somebody was in my house trying to kill me. Three police came in my house and searched my house with all the doors nailed up except for the front door and said that you needed some help. They didn't lock me up. They didn't even touch the pipe. They just left out there and said, you need some help. You know what I did? I went back to the pipe, and I stayed until I came around. You see, my choice is more, more, and more. I like the word, beam me up, Scotty. That was the word in my days. I'm the addict who had to find that I needed to be to a place where I become spiritual, not religious, and talk about my higher power, which I choose to call God today in my life. Newcomer, please don't mistake this here. It's a spiritual program, not a religious program. And I just choose to have a God of my understanding, as we all should get in this program in order to stay around here. And what I found out was today I was going to get the opportunity to come in and share my story. I'm shaking. The tears is not here, so I know I'm speaking from the heart. Because usually I cry. My father was a cruel father until I did my fourth step. And you told me, why blame your father? What did you do for your father to beat you and stomp you? My father hated a thief. So one day I stole a quarter, and he beat the living heck out of me. And he said, you don't steal in this house. So what I found, regardless of how abusive my father was the few times that he was, it was not a lifetime abusive. It was when William, no, let me tell y'all, the Frederick area knows me. It was Bobby. You don't want to see, I want to, when you hear Bobby, I learned this in recovery. Wait a minute, listen to me. I was 55. And the counselor told me, when he seen my birth certificate, he said, who is Bobby? And I said, Bobby is me. He said, who is Bobby? Bobby is me. And then he asked me to show him proof that I'm Bobby. On my birth certificate, my name is William. For 55 years, I was Bobby. For the last 11 years, William has appeared here. And I am William today. Who Bobby is, he's a part of me, but I just don't want to be Bobby anymore. In my story, I was a terrorizer. I was a child that did harm to other people without a clue of why I did it. I was a person that stole, robbed, killed. I did all of these things just to get here to tell y'all that I don't do that anymore, and I'm okay with me today. My last time being locked up was in 1967. Police is in my story, but I just don't bring police in my life today. And I'm going to be truthful with y'all. I say this in my story, too. I really don't care for police. I don't know a good police, because all of them that got me beat me, hit me in the head with blackjack, stomped me, and everything else. So I don't care for police. Do I, if something happened in my community, will I call the police? Sure I would. I just don't like police. Since I've been around here, I just learned that I like this program, because the program has given me something that I understand now about me. I'm a father who children, when I got clean and got out of prison, I went home and I said, I'm going to go get my children. And my children told me, you don't know us. You abandoned us. We don't care for you. Who are you? And y'all told me that eventually this would happen, William. You will get your children back. I got 23 grandchildren. 23. I got 5 girls. That ain't hard to do with 5 girls. Okay. But what happened in this story was I seen everybody else with their children coming together in the program, and having their families and stuff, and I didn't have a family. And I would sit there and I would cry. All I wanted to do is go to my children. My children, they love me. What happened was I had to do some work, inside and out. Because going back to my children, I had to face the truth. Why do you don't like me? You was never there for us, Daddy. We don't even know you. So how can I get love from somebody that don't even know me? But yet they are mine, they are part of me. But y'all told me to keep trying, William, keep trying. Today, all of my children are in my life because of this program. When I was smoking crack, my children and nobody else wanted to be around me. Today, my grandchildren, I got a grandson going to be here in a few minutes, and we're going to just walk the beach because I want that. All my children was grown when I got out of prison. Their children was almost grown when I got out of prison. That's a long time. That's a void that I wanted to fill, but the void that I feel now is, y'all said it would have happened. So what I do, I believe you. And this is what the program is. My program is about y'all in my life today. We don't supposed to judge and criticize and talk about each other, but we do. Now, don't get me wrong. Do I gossip? Yes. Do I like everybody in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous? No. But the one thing that y'all told me, that I must love you. Any addict is a part of this family. And the love part of it, I don't have to like you. I got to love you after I do the step work and sit up and say that I'm a trusted servant and I got sponsees. I have a sponsee family, man. It's a great family. I have a sponsee family. The only sponsees I get is sponsees that was using. And I said, I don't want a sponsor no more. But them the kind of people that I'm attracted to, because I was using too. And when it's the sponsee family that I got today, man, my sponsee family has got it together. The people that I sponsor, I just talk about me. Let me share this with you. After I fell out in the relationships, I want to say that I just wanted something else in my life. So instead of messing with the women's in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I became the top whore of the month. I began to trick. Now, I couldn't understand that because you didn't love me. You didn't want to be with me. So now I'm out here on the corner tricking now. And I kept tricking, and I kept tricking, and I kept tricking, and I made a statement one time. I don't care if y'all see me picking up the chicks out here on the street. I ain't doing nothing but just tricking. You understand what I'm saying? But the message was, when y'all seen me do it, and one night you called me on the phone and said, William, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm all right. William, are you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. You know what happened after that? I stopped tricking. See, when y'all call me up on my stuff, you understand what I'm saying? Once you pull me up on this here, I got to make a choice in this. Do I really want to continue on doing this here? Or do I want to say that 4,165 days was worth, you know, going back? And what I did is I stopped. And I found out that my problem was, too, that I didn't want nobody to help me do anything. I would do it because I can do it as long as I don't use. I justify, as long as I don't use, I can trick. I can trick. And what I found out was, now that everybody began to say that I'm a better person. I also found out, too, now let me tell you about the woman for 37 years, and I'm going to cut this short. I'm going to close this out. I have a person that stuck with me through life all the way, and a woman that loves me regardless of what. Regardless of what I've done in my life, this woman has been in my life, and she loves me. And then the women started asking me, you know, about, do your wife know what you're doing? No, she don't. It's none of her business if you don't tell her. But what I found out was, in the end, that brought me to my knees and everything, one day, my wife found a wrapper laying at the bottom of the bed in our bedroom. And she asked me, where did this come from? And I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know. Wait a minute, let me get to the bottom of the story. I lied because I knew the truth. But I knew that I could not tell her the truth. It belongs to me. But should I say that? And I didn't. For 6 months, this woman felt bad. She was hurt. She went through something, and I went through something because it was just like I was using. And the man that I had to do was, I had to confess up to my problems, but I couldn't do it with my wife. So I brought it to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and I began to pray. And since that has happened, it hasn't happened again. And she's still my wife today. I respect her. She's not in the rooms. I just hope she don't buy this tape. Not in my house, not in my area. We don't do things like that. We don't take tapes and give them to our other people, wives and stuff to hear. You know, we respect one another, I think. What it is for me, who, what, why, and how. I did it in steps. I did the step work. I was powerless over some things in my life. I made some mistakes in recovery. Today, I'm somebody. I have a good job. I work every day, and I take care of my family. But I had to go through some things. Now, you may not go through what I went through, and I may not go through what you is going through. But the whole key of it is, and all I know is that being clean and getting to this point here is that I struggle with some things in my life just for today. All I know is today I'm clean. Today I'm at the CNP Regional Convention. I know that Rock Creek came and asked me, would I like to do a workshop? It's my very first one. I hope not my last one, but it's my very first one. And I say this again. There was a newcomer that came to the table when I was sitting down here with this book and told me I had one day clean. And I know, and I looked at him, and I said, everything is going to be all right. And that's what I'm here for. Mine is about, what can I do to help me? But what can I also do to help the still suffering addict? All I can do is do what I do best, man. Carry a clear message. I haven't used in a long time. And that don't make me... Abstinence is not what we need in this program, it says. It's the honest desire. Just because I'm clean today doesn't mean anything. I still got to go out that door and go back to where I live at. It's my choice. All I know today, I just choose not to use. I sort of got afraid to tell y'all a lot of things about me, but I just want y'all to know that just for today, I'm a grateful recovering addict. And I love this program. And I love the predecessors in the program. My first convention here, in the CMP region, the person that brought me here is here today. And it was a trusting servant that's what she do best. She helps the newcomer. I was a thief. I stole your money, but I don't steal it today. I don't take from Narcotics Anonymous. I give to Narcotics Anonymous. I don't have a problem with Narcotics Anonymous today. Today, myself, for me, is I am a trusting servant to the best of my ability, as long as I allow you to teach me how to do this thing one day at a time. My name is William. I'm an addict.
I'm an addict. My name is Gary. And let's thank Rashawn and William for kicking this thing off. We still have about 15 minutes left in the meeting, and we're going to open up the mic for anybody that wants to share. Come on up. Not everybody at one time, man. All right, I guess nobody wants to share. I guess we can close this meeting in a regular way with the Serenity Prayer.